off the ball rugby.
I prefer the Leinster were coming to us if we hadn't lost to Cardiff, but it's something special for us. You know, in South Africa, you see the top couple of clubs in the world. They go Leinster, Toulouse, Bordeaux. It's the way we're going to test ourselves. So yeah, it's nice to be here.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You are very welcome, folks, to episode 135 of The Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tip stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. A reminder, too, the Off the Ball Racing Pod is free wherever you get your podcasts. Good afternoon, Johnny.
How are you, JD?
I'm good, thank you. And the Derby, the Epsom Derby, the feature on Saturday as we record this, we know that the Oaks will be out of date, so for the Derby, we're going to concentrate on that. I have always loved the Derby since I was a kid. I know they've had challenges with attendances in recent years, but I still think it's the race to test the thoroughbred. And the fact that it's been going since 1780, it really is a historical thing. And the fact that the leading trainer is Irish, Shaden O'Brien, with 11 winners is something I think we'd be very proud of as an Irish racing
community. It's kind of strange because I feel, you know, Aidan O'Brien, was it 2 weekends ago when the market suggested the Constitution River was going for the Derby, a market move that probably was smoke without fire, really. Or there mightn't even have been any smoke, but something happened. And he made some comment to the effect that, sure, I'd always be the last one to know anyway, which I think, I mean, Aidan is a hard guy to get a handle on sometimes when he's interviews, but I think that was very much tongue-in-cheek. And he always defers to the lads. The lads who are, you know, the average age in their late 70s, and it's, the, you know, what the lads will do. But the lads love the Derby. They still love the Derby. It doesn't make a sire at all now, JD. Like, you look at the last, say, 10 winners, there's barely a stallion among them. A lot of the horses, they kind of almost slip out of your memory because of there haven't been that many really good British middle distance horses in the last, say, 10 years anyway. And that seems to be, it's a quirk, but it also seems to be down to the likes of Dubawi just not getting Epsom winners like, say, Galileo. But Aidan O'Brien, and after Constitution River then was so good in France last weekend, MV Magner said, sure, we could run, I think he said something like, sure, we could run 6 or 7 horses in the Derby and people would be given out. But they still had 7 horses left in before the declarations on Thursday. They're strongly represented with 4, and they did a 1-2-3 in the French Derby. But the Derby, even though, as I say, it doesn't make a stallion at all. Stallions now, they have to prove it, or they have to be kind of faster milers.
But it's not the case, though, with stallions, that generally there's only very few really top ones throughout the last 40, 50 years. You've got Northern Dancer, Sadler's Wells, Galileo. Do you know what I mean?
Even See the Stars is a really, really good stallion, and he was a Derby winner. Now, he also was a Guineas winner, but he was a Derby winner. If you were being crudely commercial about it, I think, as with your middle distance horses, you'd barely race them beyond a mile and two. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to know. I did an interview with Aidan O'Brien about John Magner. I don't know. It wasn't necessarily about John Magner, but John Magner came up in the interview at length a year or two ago, and he was really gushing in his praise for John Magner. Now, Aidan O'Brien's, like, John Magner doesn't really give many interviews, so he's a hard fella to get a handle on as well. But my reading of it is, John Magner still loves the Derby. He's a man who's nearly 80 years of age now, whatever he is. He knows the history of the race. He has, you know, his relationship gone back to the Sangster days, the Piggott days, the Vincent O'Brien days. So the Derby still means an awful lot to them. But you look at year on year now, the British contenders in the race, and I'm not sure it means as much in Britain anymore for whatever reason. I think the crowd's going to be good this year. They've done great work on that Epsom and made they do well with that. But it's not a great Derby, I think.
Looking back at what was the last great British winner of the Derby? Was Golden Horn a great winner? Was Workforce a great winner? I mean, he's had the track record.
Desert Crown was very good.
Which was 2022, Michael Stout.
Yeah. You know, in fairness, in terms of the Oaks, you'd have like the likes of Enable, and you get these brilliant winners. But it's not, there just hasn't been this. Like, a lot of it has had to do with Galileo having such an influence on the race.
There's no Nashwan type, yeah.
No, you're looking at Sindar, one of these horses, like, to really come alive. I don't know, it's probably just a quirk, because there are some, like, Frankel is based in Britain, there are some exceptional sires in Britain, but the Derby, there hasn't been this amazing Derby winner. Like, for me, City of Troy, there was something special about him. I just don't think it was a vintage year. But like, I'm nearly going back to sort of See the Stars for the horse that really...
See the Stars, wow. Greatest horse I've ever seen on the front. My
that was a
horse.
Wow. Like, for him to do the Guineas Derby double is so difficult. But...
And then the Arc as well, of course.
And the Arc, and to win, was it the six group ones? But Aidan O'Brien, he's still, like, he split up his horses a little bit. It's possible his best horse ran in France last week, but I think he'll still win the race.
His winners have been Galileo, High Chaparral, Camelot, Ruler of the World, Australia, Wings of Eagles, Anthony Van Dyke, Serpentine, Auguste Rodin, City of Troy, and Lambert last year.
If you go back to, was it started again? So it was
the first one was Galileo.
Unbelievable sire.
In 2001.
And then after
High Chaparral. Camelot has been a decent sire.
He's been decent. He's been the best of the rest.
Ruler of the World, Australia. Yeah. Wings of Eagles. Yeah. Some of these were outsiders anyway.
Yeah.
And
so last year, for example, Lambert won the Derby, won the Irish Derby. But he stayed in training.
Out of Australia.
Australia's had a bit of luck. But Lambourn, in winning the Derby last year, because he was by Australia, he had very, very little commercial incentive at all. So I think that's why he stayed in training. He's won the Coronation Cup. But maybe tomorrow we'll see his son of Frankel, you know, rout his rivals in the race, and he will be a stallion contender. And no doubt, Coolmore is looking for a proper son of Frankel to go to stud. But... It doesn't strike me as a vintage renewal of the race, but it is what it is. Lack of kind of French runners as well has been a thing. You know, the French Derby is run over an extended mile and two. I can absolutely see why, you know, the French want to win that race. But yeah, year on year, it's probably not quite the race it was for whatever reason. And if Aidan O'Brien decided and Coolmore decided that they weren't overly bothered about it, it would be a glorified Group 2.
Well, it would be in big trouble and you'd have a crisis, and it's not a crisis at the moment. I mean, Ryan Moore has won it four times. It's 4 p.m, folks, post time for the Epsom Derby on Saturday, a mile and a half.
For all of that, JD, I would look forward to this race a million times more than the Grand National. I still love the Derby. I love good flat racing, and I still love the... It's history. It's just like going around Tatnam Corner. It's such a mad track, and seeing how the horses from the draw get into positions, and what horse is going to kick for home, what tactics will the Coolmore quartet employ. I still love the race.
Well, it's really stiff for the first, what, half mile, and then they hurtle down Tatnam Corner, and then you got to be in a good position. Johnny Murtagh always said you'll be fourth or fifth on the climb. I mean, the famously 4 years ago, Dancing Brave left himself with too much to do, and Sharastani beat him. So sometimes the best horse doesn't win, and tactics. And we even saw with Lambert last year, Wayne Lorden got a run on everybody. We've seen it with Serpentine from the front. So sometimes being close to the van, as they say, is important.
You can have a bet in the race on a 50-1 chance and absolutely have a chance. Like, absolutely have a chance, because there are horses that have not raced much. It's, you know, you're definitely, if you get a run on horse, if you're left alone out in front and the other jockeys say he doesn't have much of a chance, strange things can happen. And that's why the race says that's not going to happen at the Curragh, really, for example.
Yeah, let's have a look then at the odds of each horse in order, and then we'll go through them individually one by one on that basis. So, as we say, Constitution River won in France last week. Benvenuto Cellini is the current 2-1 favourite for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. This horse, comfortable winner of the Chester Vase, and Aidan O'Brien likes that as a trial for Epsom. Obviously, he's the first string, should be favourite, has won over the distance on his first run of the season. Heavy ground didn't suit him in the Futurity at Doncaster last season. So cut on the ground, we've had a bit of rain the last few days, would conjure doubts. I mean, I'm kind of wondering why Constitution River didn't go to Epsom on Saturday, because I think he would have won. But then again, Kieran Fallon was interviewed this week in the Racing Post, and he just goes, Aidan will win it.
Yeah, I mean... It's hard to know where they rank each other. Like, I imagine they have a fair idea which of the horses is better. There may not be much between Benvenuto Cellini and Constitution River, but I do suspect, and I am speculating here, I do suspect they reckon this is the best horse at Epsom, and the ground wouldn't be any concern for me, because as you mentioned, on the heavy ground in Doncaster, he Christophe Soumian rode him that day, sort of looked after him, he didn't handle it that well. This is going to be probably at the moment, I'd say it'll be good to soft soft at worst, maybe even good ground. And Chester, as you say, Chester is quite like Epsom. It's very much a left-handed track, but it's kind of undulating as well. And as much as what he beat in the trial, you could speculate, you know, he was entitled to a 2-9 win. I just like the way he was, I just love his action when he's powered up the last kind of 2 and 3 furlongs. And I was watching that day, and he was backed off the boards that day. I was watching him and thinking, yeah, it's probably the main Derby horse this stage.
Item won the Dante Trot at York on his first run of the season. He's unbeaten. Pulled a bit under Colin Keane early on, but got into his rhythm and finished the race very well. If a little green out of Frankel in the Judmon colours, talented for Andrew Balding.
Yeah, second Frankel in the race. The Dante, for me, I thought it was a slightly funny race. I felt action, his action actually betrayed him a bit. He threw it away a bit with his head carriage. And Item took a little while to get after him. But he's had 3 starts. He's gone slightly up in trip, slightly up in trip, slightly up in trip. Something about me says I'd be surprised if he were good enough. But big, big story where Colin Keane to win the Derby in these colours.
Absolutely. Pierre Bonnard then, the second string, it seems, for Ballydoyle and Coolmore. Look, he will stay every inch of the trip. He could even be a St. Ledger horse. Was a winner of a group on a Saint-Cloud on soft ground over 10 furlongs last year. Christophe Soumillon rides second in the Derby trial at Leopardstown. Now must build on that.
Yeah, I've said before, what I love about racing, and you know, other sports don't compare about this, is the markets. Like, what is the insider information telling us here? Will there be a plunge on Pierre Bonnard?
He's weak at the moment, 13-2.
Yeah, for me, Aidan doesn't really go to Leopardstown anymore for the Derrenstown or the Ballysacks, as he used to be known. For me, he doesn't really go to Leopardstown as much for whatever reason. Maybe he's learned that horses can go there and they're a bit raw with regard to Epsom. I haven't been taken with his performances at all this year. But the one thing is, you know, he and James J. Braddock, who ran the last year at Leopardstown, that form was given a good boost last night when the third bolted up, albeit in a listed race. But that needed to happen. I haven't been impressed with him this year. Having said that, JD, I'd rate him one of the most solid sort of place bets in the race, or top 4 bets in the race, because he will stay and he should run his race.
Yeah, and obviously bookies, some of them are offering top 4 for the Derby with 14 runners in it. A Maltese Cross, William Haggis, remember, had Shamit to win in 30 years ago, first time out, and this is a well-bred horse out of See the Stars. Grand Versatile won the Lingfield trial following a battle with Bay of Brilliance and holds each-way claims, I would say, about a 10-1 shot.
Each-way claims looks a kind of a typical Haggis improver. It was only when he went into the trial, Lingfield was only rated 96. A neck between him and Bay of Brilliance. Again, Gabe 1 can be a bit tricky, has a chance. Again, I'd be a bit surprised if he were good enough, but by the right side to win this race.
Well done to Kevin Blake, being involved in James J. Braddock. Kevin Blake, the journalist, as we know, won the Derby trial at Leopardstown over 10 furlongs last month, as you say there, Johnny. But Joseph did say that he was being named at Royal Ascot. So is he really good enough to win a Derby?
I'd be amazed if he were. And Kevin is genuinely one of the good guys that you meet in racing. It's probably about 20 years ago now, I used to be on the Betfair Forum with Kevin. I can't even remember his name now. But, you know, this guy, in those days of the early internet where you met people by talking about your common interests.
Were you actually racing. Polite to each other as well?
Yeah, it was. The Betfair Forum was funny at that time. I'm not even sure if it's changed much. It was quite a nice place, and you just talked about like your fancies and you got to know people, and Kevin was like roughly my age, if not younger, and you knew at the time, this guy is he's very sharp, even though I don't think he's a racing background, but he's been very lucky with the horse he's been involved in to have a runner. I was just thinking of this, like, if you could buy a horse with a view to running him in the Derby or run him in these good races and just hope that he's like, you have to be rated 80 or more, but to have a runner that's 10 or 12 to 1 is amazing. I'd be very surprised if he were good enough. I feel Pierre Bonnard will reverse form with him, but best of luck to Kevin and team.
Bay Brilliance, a narrow second in the Lingfield trial, half-brother to the Useful Absurd, ground no issue. He's got a decent temperament for Rafe Beckett. Should stay. The conundrum is whether he's good enough. But for me, he was the one I picked out as the each-way horse, because if you're looking at 10-1 Maltese Cross and 14-1 Bay Brilliance, there's nothing between them. And that was his first run of the season. I'm interested in him.
Yeah, he's by New Bay, he's a very good sire, as you say, JD. Watching that race back, I don't think there's much between them, him and Maltese Cross, to be fair. And he has the right profile to run well. Again, he's been stepped up gradually in trip and in class.
When you're looking at Ancient Egypt, who's attracting a bit of money here, this horse going the right way. The feeling is he will appreciate 1.5 miles, having won a listed race over 10 furlongs at Newmarket on a reappearance, not discounted, but to me would be a surprise winner. You can get at Ancient Egypt, David Egan riding 16-1.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Charlie Johnson, Mark Johnson's operation in terms of punting. I could never predict them. It's just one of those yards. It's just like I don't have a good record with them. And in fairness, I'm probably not alone here. But this horse, he seemed to very much, not untypical of the yard, seemed to surprise him the last day. And if he surprised him the last day, I'm not sure is he going to build on that again. But he's another Frankel. Like, and Frankel's horses can do extraordinary things. I wouldn't be ruling him out, to be honest.
Action requires a lifetime best. He was beaten by Item in the Dante trial at York and also failed to win either of his group races. He contested as a 2-year-old. But the man of the moment rides him. That is, of course, Wayne Lordan. Can't stop winning classics.
Another Frankel. There's something about Action to me that implies... I think this horse has plenty of ability. He did absolutely flop. I tipped him up at York the last day because I thought if you put that behind him, he'd run well. He went immediately to the front. In fairness, he held off everything else. It wasn't a bad renewal of the Dante. He's, for me, the horse a long shot. I think he's by Frankel. I think there's more in the locker if Wayne can get out of him, who rode in the last day as well.
16-1 for Action. There has actually been money here as we record this for Christmas Day. You can get a top price 20-1, but he's short as 12s in places Christmas Day. Ronan Whelan rides for Ballydoyle out of Camelot, third behind Item in the Dante York, that trial when race fits, so he must leave that behind him. Now, Coolmore's jockey bookings doesn't say that he's going to be in the first three even for them, but the money is interesting.
Yeah, so he beat Endorsement and a boy named Susie and Italy in the Bally Sacks. And Endorsement is a horse that I was talking about who won very well last night. And a boy named Susie was quite plainly unlucky fourth in the French Derby, like ran extraordinarily well. Italy was fourth, James J. Braddock was fifth. He was hot favourite at York over, you know, he was a favourite. He's probably one of these solid Camelots. I'd be very, very surprised if he were good enough. Should run well, though.
And then we're looking at the other five in the race, or at least 100-1, Balzac, Rebel Rocker, Alderman, A Taste of Glory, and Poker. Anything to say about them? Well, should they even be there?
Poker was bought for 4.3 million guineas in 2024. And Kia...
Looks like a bad hand.
Yeah, it's certainly a bad hand, JD. A very, very bad hand. Ammo Racing, I think you have to be rated 80, at least 80 to run the Derby. Because do you remember, like, a few years ago, there'd be these total rags running in the top races, and it was just annoying because, like, they weren't going to pick up prize money and they just shouldn't have been there. But they brought in that, I think that's a relatively new rule, Poker's rated 80. So Kia will have his runner, but he is 200-1 for a reason. He actually isn't a bad horse, but like, why you would pay that sort of money for, a yearling? Absolutely. Sometimes it works, but this one hasn't yet.
So I'm going to go for Bay Brilliance each way, Johnny, in the Derby, hoping for the improvement, 14-1. Are you with the favourite?
I am with the favourite, Benvenuto Cellini. The Derby's a race I have a good record in punting. I wouldn't say I'm particularly strong on him this year, but I feel if you could get a bit of 5-2 tomorrow, something like that, I think, and have a, if you're doing nothing tomorrow, put 250 each way or 5 in the race. It's a great race. Some of the long shots have chances. I mean, Ryan Moore has had a bad year in picking classic horses, and the market has been absolutely with him each time. So he hasn't been alone in thinking in the fillies races that he was on the right one. If Wayne Lordan wins this, It'll be quite a spectacle, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what the rivalry is like among the jockeys when they get it wrong, because I'm sure they do. Wayne is a great lad, but I'm sure if Wayne Lordan were to beat him again, I think this time Ryan is on the right one. I just feel watching him, he loved the straight in Epsom, and he can provide Frankel with a winner in the race.
Who did you have then in the past? Who were you lucky with?
Last year I'd actually Tennessee
Dream, was it? Or?
Tennessee Stud at 25s. I backed City of Troy. Was that the year before? I backed Camelot to win the race. I actually opposed See the Stars. Backed Authorized. Backed Motivator. I'm not sure if I've ever backed on that. Big price. I'll have to check, but it's generally a race. My horses run well in.
Yeah.
I can say there are plenty. That's not the case.
Yeah. I remember leaving college the next day. Had Sindar sevens. is what Walter Winburn said about him.
How long ago was that, JD?
2000. The year 2000.
Let's all wake up in the year 2000. It was a different time. So, yeah, Sindar. I hadn't gotten into racing that time, and I'm glad that I did because I got some sort of a career out of it.
All I can say is all my college notes went to pulp after that. If you excuse the pulp.
Beautiful.
So that's the Derby on Saturday at Epsom, 4 o'clock post time. Folks, enjoy the race. That 1.5 mile Coolmore sponsored Coronation Cup is at 2:40 on Saturday. That Group One. And we have Calandagan, the highest rated horse in the world on the flat, is in there and he runs again. He was actually beaten in the race last year by Jan Brueghel, who reopposes with Ryan Moore in the saddle. The odds are Calandagan even money, Jan Brueghel drifting to threes, Lamburn 7-1, last year's Derby winner, Convergent to the same price. A Bay City Roller for all the pop fans from the 70s is 20-1, Illinois 50s, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm slightly annoying myself here because it's like, what did I actually? The main one I had in the Derby was New Approach in 2008 when I was working the Monday or whatever day Jim Bulger apparently fell asleep and he left him in the race. But I backed him on the exchanges at like he was at a really good price, pulled like a train, watched in the bookies in Chicor, and he still won somehow. He was the main one. But in terms of this weekend's race, and Calandagan for me is by far the best of the whole weekend. If he's still available, even money.
Even money, get even money with Hills.
Turned over last year by a horse now he has to beat again. Jan Brueghel, it was a great race last year. It's going to be a cracking spectacle with three Coolmore horses taking him on. And I was reading the Racing Post after last year's race, and the analysis was, yet again, he's been beaten in a Group One. He then ran in five Group One since, and he's won every single one of them. And he's
including the Japan Cup, which
amazing,
is hard.
Amazing performance, go over to the Far East and win that race. This is nothing like as hard. I think his trainer said he's demanding to race, and he was worried about the ground. Off the top of my head now, the ground's going to be fine for him. He was long odds on last year in the race, and maybe he was slightly outbattled by the winner, but I feel he's gone on to better things since. He's a brilliant racehorse.
So I think he's a fabulous racehorse as well. You don't have any doubts then about his stamina or the track or anything?
There was a slight doubt. Like when he kept finishing second. And it's funny, like this horse is rated 130 odd. He's by far the best horse Glen Eagles has produced. He was gelded after his second run. So he obviously surprised them a bit. But I love these races where the top mile and a half horses, you get a bit of longevity in them. And when is he gonna pull the trigger and he's gonna wait at Mickle Barcelona and hopefully pull the trigger at the right time.
Yes, Jan Brueghel, last year's winner, appears to be Ballydun number one with Ryan Moore to ride him again. And he prepped for this with the win at Chester. Lamburn, Jewel Derby winner last year, although I wouldn't say vintage one. We know the course and distance is not an issue then. He won over 10 furlongs at Chester reappearance.
Good attitude. I suspect, JD, that Jan Brueghel is by far the best of the three, and they're going to make this race run a bit like the French Derby, like clockwork. How to make this race, A, to get Jan Brueghel to win, but B, how do we get the horse that's the best horse in the race beaten? And they tried that many times with See the Stars, in the end they weren't able to do it. It'll be a similar story here. I'm not sure they'll be able to do it.
I think Bay City Roller and Convergent are improving types, but once again it'd be surprising if the big Calandagan, and Illinois seems to me to be the outsider of the Ballydoyle, so I completely agree with you that I think Calandagan will win. We've got Dave Kellner of William Hill on the line. How are you, Dave?
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, we're good, thanks, Dave. The Derby, where is the money going for Epsom?
Yeah, I think this is just a fascinating renewal of the Derby. And as you would expect, I think, the punters are latching on to Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore here with Benvenuto Cellini, who has been quite well supported. He's into 2-1 now for the Epsom Derby. We are seeing a decent spread of business, but he's proved easily the most strongest in the market of those at the front end. We're clear top price on Pierre Bonnard, one we want to lay. We think he's got his quirks. I think that's evident in his running style as well, even though he might appreciate slightly more testing ground on Saturday afternoon. Pierre Bonnard is top price with William Hill at 13-2. We will have an epic boost on Derby Day with William Hill as well, but yeah, the punters latching on to Benvenuto Cellini. I seem to really appreciate that step up in distance at Chester last time, and this combination, just know what it takes to win these classics.
What about outsiders that are attracting a bit of money? Anything that is really moving the market for the double figure price horses, Dave?
The only one of interest, I think, at double figure prices is James J. Braddock, who I think has got a good chance of finishing maybe second behind Benvenuto Cellini. Quite well supported in the last 48 hours or so, had been as big as 11-1, has been clipped into 10-1, and that 10-1 is under pressure as well after that winning a Derby trial at Leopardstown last time. So James J. Braddock is the one that's attracting support from an each-way perspective at 10-1. And as mentioned, Pierre Bonnard slightly weak in the market. Maltese Cross, he's slightly weak in the betting, having won that Lingfield Derby trial as well. That one's 9-1 now, having been as short as 8-1 earlier in the week.
So what do you fancy? Johnny fancies Benvenuto Cellini. I've gone for Bay of Brilliance each way, Dave. What do you like?
Yeah, I think the favourite will win, Benvenuto Cellini. I actually think 2-1 will be under pressure on the day. I can see him going off 13-8, 7-4, something like that price. I thought that was such an impressive win at Chester. Clearly relished the step up in distance. Everyone's talking about stride patterns as well. He's got the perfect stride pattern for a Derby winner. Benvenuto Cellini, I think, will win the race.
Emphatic from Dave Kellner, William Hill. Calandagan will be odds on by the time we get to the Coronation Cup post time.
Yeah, Calandagan's really interesting because there were doubts about his participation in the race midweek. He drifted out to 7-4 with William Hill, but as the race time approaches, he looks a certain starter now. And I think he'll go off odds on. He's even money now, having been 11-10, did touch 10-11 as well, but he settled on the price of even money. And I think he'll win as well. I know that Jan Brugel beat him in the race last year, but I think this is a much improved performer and highest rated racehorse in the world. And I think he'll obviously turn the form around in the King George, and I think he'll confirm his superiority. I think he's much the best of these, Calandagan. I think he'll win the race at even money. We've got a price boost on him to win by over a length. It might be difficult to win by over a length because I think it will be one of those performances where he's potentially delivered late, 15-8 from 11-8 if you fancy him to win by over one length. But I like the look of the price boost on Calandagan, and Benvenuto Cellini are both to win, which has been enhanced from 5-1 to 11-2. I think both will win on Saturday afternoon.
We'll get Johnny's view in a moment. The 130 here, the Tottenham Corner Stakes over 7 furlongs, Dave. 8 runners. I see the money has come for the favourite here, Never So Brave, who is going to be ridden by Oisin Murphy. Maybe he needed his comeback run at Sandown, and he's the top-rated horse in this.
Yeah, could have done. And, I mean, he's a Group 1 winner, isn't he? And he's won in Group 2 company and a Group 3 here. So he's the obvious one from a class perspective. Slightly concerned that he pulled so hard last time out, albeit it was his reappearance runners, as you mentioned, John. And I think that he's bound to improve from that performance. But the way he did pull, I think he's one of those favourites that we'll look to take on Saturday. He's 6-5, and I think that's quite tight in the betting. Alcantor's improving. I think he'll go well. And we've also seen interesting support for Witness Stand, who was a listed winner on soft ground, won the Group 2 Lennox Stakes as well at Goodwood last July. He's lost his form a little bit, but he's had wind surgery, and he wears a first-time tongue tie. And it's interesting we've seen a little bit of cash for Witness Stand. He's as big as 12-1 now, which I think is a decent each-way poke against the favourite, who I think is opposable.
Johnny, so Alcantor won a couple of Group 3s for Andre Fab in France. He's now gone to Joseph O'Brien. Maybe once again will strip fitter for his first run of the season. He's an interesting runner for me.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of obvious speed in the race. It would be Alcantor and Poet Master, who I think Poet Master might just be able to sit off Alcantor, and that'll be one thing Dylan Brown McMonagall will be analysing. He doesn't have massive experience of Epsom, Dylan, but he'll be thinking, I'll probably get something on the soft side of it here in terms of the lead. I'm hoping there might be a bit of pace pressure up top, and if you're on Never So Brave, it's a remarkable gamble. He ran behind very, very good horse the last at Sandown. There was no money for him behind Feel of Gold. He's usually shorter than that, so I imagine this is his plan. But he's not the most straightforward horse in the world, and I've got to take a chance on Chicago Critic. Definitely needs others to...
Johnny Murta?
Yeah, he spoke about the race yesterday as being his Epsom Derby tomorrow.
Right, 16-1.
I think he kind of wants... in fairness, I don't think there's an awful lot to be read into it. He wants a runner. I'd love to have a runner in a dog race on Derby Day. Like anything at all. Like to have I'm going to Epsom, I have a runner in the first race, whatever. So Chicago Critic, he's actually not out of it, and I feel he should come on from 6 furlongs inadequate the last day behind the remarkably impressive Comanche Brave, who I'll mention later on the show at the Curragh.
9:35 a.m. the bags race at Epsom. Johnny Wood.
Well, I've often thought, and Dave Keller is invited. You know the way they've bag meetings now on at like 8 a.m. So like your stag basically starts at like was it Kilkenny Dogs, Goran Park, and then on to wherever afterwards. There you go.
I like. Well, the only I spotted because I did the car this morning. Balmacara appeared at type for handicaps now and disappointed a couple of those last year. But he was third on 50-1 on his reappearance in listed race at Haydock, and there is a bit of money from about 25-1 Balmacara. A lot of these horses have not run well in their last run, so I'm just going for a horse who actually showed a bit of decent form in his last run. So maybe each way for a year or each way for him. Then we have as well the other Group 3, the Princess Elizabeth Stakes, just over a mile for fillies. 9 runners at 2:05 at Epsom on Saturday on Derby Day. Just bringing them up here in terms of the odds. She's perfect. Is she the favourite for you, Dave Kalner, in terms of the prices?
Yeah, she is. She's 5-2 at the top of the betting. She's perfect. Sparks Fly is 4-1. Pacific Mission in the betting at 5-1. It is 15-2. Arisag, Pina Sonata is in the betting at 15-2. 10-1 Breckenborough, and it's 12-1 and bigger. The remainder, the one really attracting support and is strongest in the betting will be our worst result come race time as well, because the trader's keen to lay Sparks Fly, who the punters have come for. 4-1 as won four times in listed company and won a Group 3 at Saint-Cloud last October, and was second in the Huxley Stakes subsequently at Chester third in this race last year. And yeah, Sparks Fly is one at 4-1 that's attracting support, but one the traders are keen to lay here, Johnny.
Yeah, I found this race quite difficult. She's perfect, the one to beat. Princess Child was plainly unlucky behind the Smart City of Memphis at the Curragh. That was only a couple of weeks ago now. And she's definitely better than that. Dylan Brown McMonagall rides now instead of Declan McDonough. He was actually fifth on her the day before. At her best form, she's a fair chance of being in the first three, and she'll be around about 16-1. Tricky race.
You actually come into 12s, Johnny. Okay. But yeah, she was Group 3 winner at Tipperary last year.
Tends to give her running.
She's consistent, isn't she? I mean, she's perfect. Like, was first past the post in the French 1,000 guineas at Longchamp. Now, maybe that's an inferior standard, but on that form, surely she wins this.
She's a man. She's, yeah, and like, she actually could be a sort of a backable prize.
And she's had a comeback run at Goodwood, yeah. So. To me, she's the winner, but I agree with you on Princess Child. What about Navan then on Sunday? The Hill of Tara Stakes is at 4:02. Then we also have the Cuyonga Stakes at 4:37 on Sunday. Is there anything early doors we can see for these, Johnny?
Oh, yeah, two really intriguing contests, Navan. I love flat racing at Navan, and I think the track are making more efforts to get people going racing for the flat. This race, as you say, what race are we looking at first, JD?
The Hill of Tara. This is on Sunday.
The Hill of Tara is an amazing place to visit. You know, Sean Boylan would have the Meath players running around the Hill of Tara, but you can see 6 or 7 counties from the top of the Hill of Tara, and Meath is real racing country. It's absolutely steeped in racing, and there's an intriguing runner here in the shape of Haz Dan, JD, and I said I'd mention him.
They've changed the times, by the way, for this, because this happens sometimes. So the Hill of Tara Stakes is now 3:27, and they're running the Cuyonga Stakes at 4:02. So they've changed that a bit. So the Hill of Tara, this has got what, 12 runners?
Yeah,
this is a listed race over a mile and a furlong.
And Navan's a really, like, a lot different to Epsom. Left-handed, but like really stiff finish, and all you've so you know you don't really have a hard luck story in it. And Hasdan, there's a slight chance he'll be found out by his fitness. But Dermot Weld, as much as he's the horse who flopped last night, he has been among the winners. And I think in general his form is fine. This horse's last run, he was behind Henri Matisse, Comanche Brave, who now looks pretty much the best sprinter in Ireland, Arizona Blaze, Tribal Nation was fifth. That's an incredible run. He's a beautiful pedigree, this horse. Hasn't been seen since, which is 434 days. But if the market, I don't like saying if the market is solid about him, because if the market is solid about him, you're missing the price. But I'd be willing to take a chance that Durham Weld has him right. He's a fascinating runner in this. Very hard race to price.
Hasdan, that's number 2 in the 3:27 at Navan on Sunday. That's the Hill of Tara Stakes. And then, as I said, the Cuyonga Stakes for fillies and mares is at 4:02 at Navan on Sunday. Have you spotted anything in this so early?
Well,
early doors.
Your horse is out again, JD. Drop dead gorgeous. Well. The one that you've been waiting for. But a bit like you know, has his off days, her off days, because she bombed behind Causeway. She absolutely bombed the last day. You know, when she's gone from run on the 22nd of March, she was odds on to win a race, a Group 3 at Curra, which meant that she had to step up on form. She was desperately unlucky over the mile that day. I am the forgiven type. She She did not run her race whatsoever over a mile and two the last day. But Dubawi out of You're So Thrilling. She has so much going for her and she's dropped dead gorgeous.
Well, I prefer White Sand Beach, to be honest, which is also the race there. Dave Kellner, is there anything else that the weekend, Dave, that you want to highlight at Epsom? Any handicaps, anything attracting money that we need to know about?
Nothing else, JD. I think obviously the Epsom Derby should be an absolutely quality renewal, and I think we'll just want Benvenuto Cellini beaten in that race from a bookmaking perspective, but I can't see it happening.
Okay, it's time for Johnny Ward's charity bet. Johnny, you got 50 on the nose or 25 each way. You want to keep it simple and put it on the Epsom Derby, or have you got something else up your sleeve?
Hopefully Dave will give us an even nifty give or take in Carnage, which they've moved, and I believe this is a good move. They moved the race from the Friday. Like the Friday at Epsom, it's not the Derby day, and like the Carnage Cup is a fantastic race. It was a bit lost on the Friday, so they've moved it. And if you're not a racing fan or you don't watch racing and you do want to watch the Derby tomorrow, just watch Killandigan in this race, and he's just the most beautifully consistent racehorse. I love him. So hopefully he might get evens in the Coronation Cup tomorrow.
You'll give him evens, Dave Kellner, will you?
Yeah, of course. Anything for you, Johnny.
Thank you, and hopefully go to the charity as well.
It's very, very simple, folks. Killandigan in the Coronation Cup on Saturday at Epsom, 2:40, 50 on the nose for Johnny Ward at even money, and hopefully he obliges for the charity. That was the Racing Pod this week on Off the Ball. Dave Kellner, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, chaps.
And thank you, Johnny.
Cheers, Judy.
Chat soon.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie. Off the Ball. Rugby.
I prefer the Leinster were coming to us if we hadn't lost to Cardiff, but it's something special for us. You know, in South Africa, you see the top couple of clubs in the world. They go Leinster, Toulouse, Bordeaux. It's the way we're going to test ourselves. So, yeah, it's nice to be here.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.